May in Yirtzeh Hashem the schus of our learning be able to give refuah to those people who are ill, and those people who are well in Yirtzeh Hashem, they should stay well in Yirtzeh Hashem. For that you can say amen. Now, 3,332 years ago, the Klal Yisrael left Eretz Mitzrayim on a Thursday morning. Now, it's important to keep this in mind. On the first Pesach, at that time, the Pesach, the Yetziah, was Thursday morning. Now, keep in mind this in mind. The Seder, that means, was Wednesday night. It means that Shabbos HaGodol happened to be with the taking of the Seah and all that, was this past Shabbos, just as it was for us. And it means that not only are we keeping Pesach on the dates, Tesvav, and we're shechting the Korban Pesach, if there were a Beis HaMikdash, on Yudalit, etc., but we're following the actual days that Klal Yisrael went out of Eretz Mitzrayim. May it be a geula for all of us as well. Now, I want to give you a thought for a moment. Think again that the Shabbos HaGodol, this past Shabbos, this coming Wednesday, in the morning, Bris Milah, after Chatzos, which here in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim is at 12, I think it's at 12:14. So at this point, it's we have the giving of the Korban Pesach, which is being shechted, and all the Yidden are roasting it, and then the evening is the Seder. And keep in mind the following, that it's a huge, huge step in Emunah that the Klal Yisrael were able to come and to be able to perform the Korban Pesach and do all that was necessary even before anything happened. Because you can imagine this, if, God forbid, nothing had happened the following morning, if, God forbid, the Egyptian Bechorim were not killed that night, what would the situation have been for the Klal Yisrael in the morning when everyone woke up? After they shechted and ate the Korban, which was the god of the Egyptians, it would have been a terrible, terrible scene that occurred for all the Jews at that time. And Baruch Hashem, things worked out the way they were supposed to be. Now, it so happens that we begin the Haggadah that we're going to talk about today with the Malbim on Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilos. Now, what is the point that we're making over here? It's such an important part of the Seder that even if a person is all alone and he has to read the Manishtana, he can be X number of years old, 50, 60, 70, he has to read the Manishtana. Why is it so important? Just skip it. But the fact is this, says the Malbim. Manishtana has within it the avdus and chevus, servitude and freedom, in a matter of minutes. In just a matter of minutes, through the Manishtana, a person gets a view of the entire situation that occurred to the Jews on the night and the following day of the Seder. It's not necessary for a person to have to read through the Haggadah halfway until he sees, oh, the situation is changing. It's not necessary even for him to have a good state of mind. And, you know, he knows the story already. But the fact is that he puts himself, later on, he starts reading all the details once again after absence of a year. And since the last Seder. And, you know, then he starts thinking more and more about how fortunate we are. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim, etc., etc. The fact is, he looks in the very beginning of Manishtana. What do you have? You have matzah and maror that remind us of the slavery. Remember, matzah, the Jews ate matzah in Egypt when there was a fast food for them. And during that period that we're eating the matzah, this is the matzah of avdus that we pick up, as we say, halach ma'an yodi, achanalav, asana ba'arad, mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction, etc., etc. Later on, when the Jews go out, we talk about another reason that we're eating matzah. That's the masa of chayrus, of freedom. But right now, we look at masa as a sign of avdus. And we look as at morer, of course. Morer is the very bitter, bitter. Now, at the same time, we're contrasting that with the dipping, and we're the contrasting that as well with reclining. That's the tibul and haseba. And the fact is that this is something that immediately, one sees, 3 minutes into the Seder, oh, we already have a picture of what occurred as such. Says the Malbim that this is so very, very powerful, and a person begins the Seder with a very, very good frame of mind, and that's what the purpose is, why it's so early, and we have this as such. Now, when you go on within the Seder, we speak Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah. The Torah speaks about four different children. They don't have to be children. They can be adults. Four different, actually, Banim, but it could be so many, many different people. And the fact is, they can be in one, though, if we're talking about a family unit, is a Chacham, is the wise son, is the Echad Rasha, one is the wicked son, one is the Tam, the simple son, and then is one is the Enyo de Elisho, just for whatever reason it may be. Most often, not his own fault at all, he just doesn't know what to ask. So the Satmar Rebbe asked a very, very good question, and that is, why, before every single one of these four people, it says Echad, Echad this, and Echad that, and Echad this. Echad Chacham, Echad Rosh, Echad Tam, Echad Sheini Yodei Elisho. Why is that? And the Rebbe says the following, that it could very well be, although we could have just said, Echad, there's one, Chacham, Rosh, Tam, Sheini Yodei Elisho. The Rebbe says, Bedafka, in particular, we use the word Echad, because it all could be one person. Just know, a person changes. Did he eat? Didn't he? Is he tired? Is someone bothering him? Whatever the situation. Take, for example, there's a big difference between a house that has a lot of children and a canine horror every single day now without having school, and a person is put to the test, so to speak, at a time where, it's more relaxed and such. Every single person has to be on guard that he could be or she could be in a matter of moments of changing, depending upon what the stimuli is, it could be Echad this, this, and this. So therefore, let us not look at these four people as if, it's not talking to me, I'm fine, I'm okay. Not necessarily, because depending upon what occurs around you, you could in any given moment be one of these people. And the main thing is, keep an equilibrium, keep a balance, keep focused in what and how we should be doing what we are. Now there's another idea too that I want to share. Listen, there's so many ideas, but I select only a couple of them. One is, these four people, interesting. All of the three of the four people, I'm gonna call them sons for the sake of the way they mentioned them, those four sons, three of them surface in Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo is the 15th Parsha of the 54 parshas in the Torah. The Torah has 54, the 15th is Parshas Bo. And already the Rasha, the Eino Yodei Elisho, and the Tam in that order surface. And they ask their questions and they get their answers, etc., in the Chumash. Now, fast forward 30 parshas, interesting, 30 parshas to Parshas Vo'eschanan. And in Parshas of Vo'eschanan is the Chacham. And he asks his very erudite and involved question, and we answer him there. So therefore, now you have your four different sons. The question, though, that's asked is, why isn't the Chacham in the same, why isn't the wise son, Chacham, why isn't he in the same Parsha? You're talking more or less about the first three who had, the same the situation, home situation, or whatever community situation occurred to all of them. And then they chose, or whatever the situation was, that each one became, this one became a Russia, this one chose in his life, and the other one maybe had choice or didn't have choice. But the fact is that there are three of them who are there with similar situations. And it's appropriate to think that the Chacham himself also had a similar, you know, situation of community and home, etc. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to draw the inferences that we necessarily do. So that, but why is it that he's 30 parshas away? And the answer, one answer that is given, is that the fact is that he's 30 parshas away. Parsha number 45 is a, the reason may be because that's why he's a chacham. He stuck it out. He may have had the same difficulties that the others had. And yet, when others gave up, he kept going. And that's how he became a chacham. Point is, persevere, determination, a desire to go on and overcome and serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that makes the person into the chacham.
What situations did they arise in Parshas Bo and Vayis Chanan? What were the situations?
Between Parshas Bo and Parshas Vayis Chanan, this is what you have over here. It's a lot of Parsha over here.
In the actual Parshas, what was it in Parshas Bo where they showed up?
David, can we go into mute? I'm not going to take any questions. We're actually, all of us are mute at this point, only to be able to have the opportunity. But if you're able, I'm happy to speak with you later on. Thank you very, very, very much. Appreciate very much. Now, that takes care of the four sons. As an aside, an interesting aside that I did here, is that the Chochem, the Ches Chof Mem, once heard from Zevi Kaufman, one of the Bachar, at that time he was a Bachar, and then there is a Torah, that Ches stands for Chetzi, the Chof is Coast, and the Mem of Chochem is Malaya. So that's very often, the Chochem is the type of person who is, he looks at everything as half full instead of half empty. Now, just take a look at the glass. Is it half full or is it half empty? The Chacham is a person who always looks to be able to have half full instead of half empty. Let me go on with you. Daf Kuf Tes Zion in Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara begins, Maskil Bignus U'Messayim B'Shevach. We begin with disgrace and we end with glory. What are we talking about and why? The what is, what's the disgrace? The disgrace is that the Jews were b'tchila ovdi avodah zarah hayu aviseinu. Rav says it is that in the very beginning we were idolaters. And the second, Shmuel says, no, it's avodah hayinu b'varah Mitzrayim. That is what we're talking about when we're speaking about the disgrace and that we begin with. Either we were idolaters, or we were ovdi avodah zarah, which it wasn't our desire to be enslaved, but once we were enslaved, we unfortunately went down, and lost a lot of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much so that in one respect, the angels in heaven said when the Egyptians were being drowned, wow, why are you killing one group and not the other? There are many interesting things involved in this whole area, as we might touch on as we continue on. But it does begin with disgrace. And in the end, we leave. We're attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We went through a crucible, which brought out the best in us, etc., and we stuck to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the fact is this. Why is it that we have to mention all this on the night of Pesach? Now, of course, we can easily say that we can appreciate where we are now by where we were. And that's very true, too. But there's more. The Masechta says the following. On the night of Pesach, we're sitting at the Seder. Some people feel very smug. Some people feel very good. They know so much. They share so much. Oh, that's fine. Very good. So we say to those people, don't feel so secure with yourself or smug or arrogant or conceited as you sit around the Seder table with all different types of people. Because in the beginning, you come from the same stock as everyone else here, where our ancestors were either idolaters or they went low when they were enslaved for that period of 210 years. Or we should speak to the other person who feels very inhibited, because he doesn't know that much, or he comes from a home which is not so observant and all that. And today, this person is saying, hey, don't feel that you don't belong here. You belong here like everyone belongs here. Because after all, where do we all come from? We all come from the same situation. All of our ancestors, we either over there by the Zara, all of our ancestors were people who were enslaved. So therefore, we all belong here. It's an even playing field. It's an important thing to always remember. The Haggadah goes on, "Dehi sham de la vaseinu gavanu, shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu." Now, what is this v'hi? And this is what has kept our people. "Dehi sham de," this is what has stood up and saved our people. What is the v'hi? So, it is interesting that some learn v'hi is just the way it is. Vav, hey, yud, aleph. The vav stands for shisha shigim mishnah. The hey, chamisha chum shetayim. The Yud Aser Sadibris and the Aleph of Echad Elokeinu. This is what's held us together all this time. Wonderful. That's a nice idea, and it's very, very appropriate. The guy that is Zayn Gezunt, he should be, you know, be blessed with health. He has given an idea like the following. What is it that's kept the Jewish people, you know, together? The Hishamda. It is Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. That in every generation, the nations around us have tried to destroy us. And we Jews have become closer to God through that. We Jews have fought back. As much as they pushed one way, they pushed the other way. It's unfortunate that we've had to come on to that. As other people have said, that if the Jew doesn't know how to make kiddush, then the world, the nations around them, the Jew, around the Jewish people make habdolah. They make separation, and the separation comes through anti-Semitism, comes through other difficulties and such. Too bad we need that from time to time. Hopefully, you know, as time goes on, we won't need it. But that's exactly what the Baal HaGadah is saying. Shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. What is it that's kept us going? The very fact that nations try to destroy us. It's another consideration, important. Now, there's an important consideration too when we come to Arami Ovi Ovi. Listen very carefully to this because it's something that gives us a different perspective per se. Already, a lot of people are starting to nod out during the part of the Seder. And here, we speak about Lavan, how Arami tried to destroy us. But Paro was even worse to us because he enslaved us, etc. And the fact is that when we speak in terms of the Jewish people went down to Eretz Mitzrayim. So there, when we speak that we have an idea that the Jews went down, as it says in the Parsha, in Parsha's Kisavo, the beginning of Parsha's Kisavo in regarding Bikurim. In that Parsha, the Torah speaks about, we went down to Eretz Mitzrayim, the Yordu B'nai Yisrael Mitzrayim, and the Vayavidu or something, and the Egyptian people enslaved us. And then what happened is, and they afflicted us. And then we cried out to Hashem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to our prayers. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out. And in four psukim, we have the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's very interesting. There's a lot of Torah Shabbat on it, which gives a lot of, you know, of explanation to these four psukim. I want you to just be aware that these four psukim, you know, which begin with Arami Oved Avi, give us the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. And everything else that's spoken about it, which really continues taking, you know, quite a while, is Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, these four psukim are used to give us this outline of the Haggadah, and we purposely don't go back to the very beginning of the Haggadah. Why bother to look at Parshas Kisavo, which is in Devarim, which is part of Bikurim, to give us a background of what occurred? Why don't we just go back to the prime source, to Shmos, Lei, Rabo, Mishalach? That'll give us everything. But we don't want to do that, because that's too long. No, you don't get any other place in the Torah where you can have a very concise overview of what occurred, from the fact that the Jews went down, they were enslaved, they cried to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and listen, took us out. And that's part of that, Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it all goes together. plus the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned at all in this part of the Elise Pshutim. And we bedafka don't want, when we speak of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to highlight Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned once, that's mentioned, in the Haggadah. But that's the only time Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned, because because Hashem wants to emphasize, I'm the one who took you out of the Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was my messenger. Moshe Rabbeinu was the main person who did everything as my messenger. But who is the one who is doing it per se? Especially in this case, it is I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mesidus makes the point that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something himself, so to speak, and that was not through a shliach, and this was exactly the case by the destruction of the firstborn, etc., etc. This is something that lasts forever. There can be no change, which means the Yetzias Mitzrayim per se of taking the Jews out of the Eretz Mitzrayim was in the hands of Hashem. Ani lo yidei malach, lo yidei sarach, ani just I. Ani hu, ani b'lo acher. And that's something that remains forever. We are bound with the Kadosh Baruch Hu forever through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Baruch Hashem. Now, when it came time to kill the firstborn, so we put blood on the walls. This was the blood of the Korban Pesach, or the blood of the Dam Mila. It was put on the wall, on the doorpost, inside part of the doorpost. So the question that the Mesidus Sholem asked, why do we have to put a sign on the house? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw this, and he skipped over the houses of the Jewish people, and he slew the Egyptian Becholim. Why was it necessary? Hashem knows who's who. There's no question. Hashem knows who. You don't have any type of sign by any other Makkah. So why should there be a difference? And especially, this one didn't come through Moshe Rabbeinu. This came totally through Hashem, and he knows everything. What's the necessity? So the Sefer Shalom explains that the reason why we had this particular Makkah, of Makkah's B'chayus, is because it certainly was the strongest declaration of saying, I am following you, Hashem. I am ready to put my life on the line by killing the God and eating the God of the Egyptians, because I have full belief that you're going to take us out, and I'm ready to go with you. And not only that, I'm putting the blood on the doorpost of my home. If an Egyptian would come in, this together with every part of the, seeing how what we did over here with his God, and we ate his God, and all would be just adding insult to injury, and it doesn't make a difference to me. I am with you 1,000%. It's an act of commitment. That's what Hashem wanted to see. Would the Jews commit themselves? And when they committed themselves, he took them out of there. That's right. That was necessary. The commitment. So it wasn't so Hashem should know. It's that the Jews should know that he was fully committed to follow the Derech Hashem, without a doubt. Now, this is why we say, Mishenichnas Nissen Marbin Be'emuna. We just finished Adar, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin Be'simcha. Now, Mishenichnas Nissen Marbin Be'emuna. Because this is the way that we serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a full trust of full bitachon Baruch Hashem. Now, we come to the point that Rabbi Gamliel says, Mishloam Elo Amar Gimel Dvorim Eilo Yolo Yatsi Yedei Chavasa. He who didn't say these three things have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Sikri Yetzias Mitzrayim properly. Now, what is it about Pesach, Matzah, and Maror? Think for a moment of the sequence. Why is it written in that sequence? I would say, if you asked me, which nobody did, fortunately, what would it be? How would you do this? I would think that I would first of all put Maror first. You might also. if I'm going to write, you know, what should it be? Pesach Matzah Maror, I would say Maror Pesach Matzah, or maybe Maror Matzah Pesach, whatever it would be. But to have Pesach first and then Maror strength, at least superficially looking at it. So what's the point? The Nesivus says, what's the point? We want to emphasize that leaving Eretz Mitzrayim was a spiritual experience more though than the physical. Of course, we were happy, very happy to be freed of physical bondage. But that's not the point. The Bedavka put the Maror at the end to show it's number three, not number one. What's number one? We have a bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu forever. This is the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's Pesach, where we become connected to Hashem. That's why a Jew, no matter what the situation is, in a concentration camp, God forbid, anything like that, we kept Pesach. What? What are you keeping a Seder in a concentration camp? It's the worst thing that could possibly be. Of course, God forbid. But the fact is, we are celebrating our connection to Hashem. That's what the whole thing is about. And therefore, that's why we bedavka wait that the Maror should be at the end. We're making the point, no, we are with you, Hashem, we're connected forever through Pesach, through Matzah. And of course, we are thankful that we're finished with the bondage that we have. So it's Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Maror is the last of everything. Now, we're getting close to the end of the year. What I share with you quickly is Tisha Miyadeya. We say, we go through the whole Echa Miyadeya, you know, and every single one of the Miyadeyas have something to do with Judaism. From the first Echa Elokeinu to the fifth, which is Chumash, to the Chumisha Chumash Torah, to the last, which is the Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem. Tisha Yachaleinu, what is there about giving birth, which is so unique to a Jew? You know, everybody has, everyone of the human species has 9 months of the gestation period. So what is there about the Teshel Yachaleinu? So one of the commentaries says the following. For a Jewish child learns Torah in his mother's womb. And therefore, that makes the difference. Others say, which is also beautiful, that the Jewish home is unique in the sanctity of the Jewish home. And therefore, that makes a major, major difference between the way that our family functions and anyone else's is such. In the closing moments, I want to share with you how we normally begin our Seder. And we speak in terms of the Sklina Rebbe and the Vizhnitsa Rebbe, who, after the war in 1946, in a displaced persons camp, a DP camp, the screener found flour, he made a limited amount of matzah, and he gave the matzah out to various dynasties of rebellion, and they would share three matzahs each that he gave to each group with the people around them, because they hadn't had matzah. They had matzah. And even now, it's just a little amount, but a little amount is better than no amount. And therefore, he gave three matzahs religiously to all the various people who wanted it from the various dynasties, and they gave it out to their followers. Along came the Vizhnitsa Rebbe's son. He said, my father wants six matzahs. No, we can't give it to you. There's a shakla, the kaya, and they had discussions, and then the Rebbe said, the Vizhnitsa wants it, give him six. And that's it. Now, it's Erev Pesach. The Vizhnitsa's son comes back, and he gives back three matzahs. Three matzahs, three whole matzahs. And so the people who are distributing matzah for the Sklina Rebbe said, if you weren't going to keep the three matzahs, why did you take them in the first place? So the Vizhnitsa's son said the following. My father realized and thought that the Sklina would be giving out so much matzah that he would not keep matzahs for himself. And therefore, he wanted to make sure that the Sklina had matzah. So I took six, brought back three, so that he would have matzah for Pesach. And sure enough, the Sklina had no matzah at all. He had given away everything. And this way, he had matzah too. it's to me, it's a moving story about how we look out for each other. And when we do, Baruch Hashem, it makes the world of a difference. And that's what held Jews together in Eretz Mitzrayim too. They looked out for each other. We must look out for each other during this time as well. I want to remind all of us that this year it's going to be harder to remember to count the Omer and not miss the Omer. Because, you know, usually we're in shul, and they go through, they count in shul. We're on our own this year. So therefore, just like we are with all the mitzvahs, we are at home. And in Yitz Hashem, whatever safeguard you need to use, from a computer screen to chavrusas to whatever it is, just to be reminded to leave yourself notes to whatever it may be. Everybody knows what works for him. Work out some arrangement so that each one of us will, when it comes time for Shavuos, be able to make a bracha on the Omer, and that we will not have forgotten himself. I want to wish everyone a chag sameach v'kosher. Kosher, I know it's going to be. It should be sameach. That's going to be it. We're going to put all of our effort into a Yirtzeh Hashem, having a chag sameach in Yirtzeh Hashem. And although it's very interesting that we are following almost what happened in Eretz Mitzrayim, we're dealing with a plague, we're dealing with al yetzei ish mipesach beso, just like if the Jews couldn't leave their homes then, can't leave their homes now, but in Yirtzeh Hashem, just as that one passed, so too, this too will pass. The brius, the chias, the simcha, and the shalom.